Let's open our Bibles again to Job chapter 1. And the text for the sermon this morning is verses 20 to 22. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Lord, congregation of Christ, some days get fixed in your mind, and you can never forget them. For me, one of those days is May 27th, 2002. My wife Rose and I were in Canada, where we come from originally, and we were staying with her parents on their family farm. And about 2:30 in the morning, Rose's father knocked on the door. He said, "Wes, your dad is on the phone." I got out of bed, and I knew it couldn't be anything good. My dad just told me, "Wes, your mom is gone. Suddenly, just like that, the news knocked the wind out of me. I couldn't stand. I fell to the ground. After getting off the phone, Rose's mom and dad and Rose were all sitting in the living room, the lounge room, and they knew what I'd just heard. I grabbed a Bible, and without even thinking, I turned to Job 1:21 and read it with them. We prayed together, and then I drove away in the darkness to be with my father. Our text was written in the context of a sudden, tragic loss. It makes sense to go to a passage like this when we experience the same in our lives. God is teaching us here how to deal with our grief in a way that honors Him. That's really what this passage in Job is all about. It's about God and His glory. It's about God and how He enables believers to deal with sudden loss. Satan expected Job to deal with his sudden loss by cursing God to his face. That's what Satan wanted. Earlier in chapter 1 of Job, Satan was cynical about God and what he had done in Job's life. We heard about that last week. Satan thought Job just believed in God because of what he could get out of it. But take everything away, and Job would show a different face. Well, in our passage, God proves Satan was wrong about Job. The Almighty God has the power to help a believer grieve sudden loss in faith. And so I preach to you God's Word. Trust God's victorious power to help you grieve in faith. There's two things we're going to look at, 2 points in the sermon. We're going to consider Job's deep grief, and then second, his deeper faith. So deep grief, deeper faith. Now, the way we think about emotions is shaped by different factors. Those factors include things like our culture, our gender, our upbringing, and our personality. But there is someone who shows what it means to be truly human, also in terms of our emotions. There is someone who validates the expression of our emotions. And that someone is our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was and is a true human being. And as such, He experienced the full range of human emotions. And that includes grief. Think of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, how He wept. When Christ weeps, we see His true humanity. But we also see God. We see how God understands true human grief. And in Christ, He validates our experience of grief in this broken world. God is not indifferent to our grief. He certainly doesn't condemn our grief or tell us to just get over it. And we see that in our passage as well. We can begin with God's evaluation of Job's response in verse 22. In all this, Job sinned not. So what we read in verse 20 has to be seen in the light of that. God says that Job's grief in verse 20 is not sinful. That doesn't mean that it's then neutral or that it's morally indifferent. When God says Job didn't sin in his grief, He means that Job acted rightly. God validates Job's grief. He validates the grief of this believer, and in Christ, He validates the grief of all believers. Let's back up and look for a moment at what led to Job's grief. It was a horrible day of loss. And there are several things to note about what led to Job's profound grief. First, notice how comprehensive his loss was. He lost his oxen, donkeys, and servants. He lost his sheep and camels. Then his 7 sons and 3 daughters were all killed in a house collapse. He was left with his own health and with his wife. But now he was bankrupt and childless. Job had nothing left to his name. So this was a far-reaching loss. Second, you ought to notice how sudden the loss happened. When you read verses 13 to 19, it's just like a rapid-fire succession of tragedies. All on the same day, brought to Job all at about the same time, one after another. It's not like just one punch in the gut, but several in a row. Job doesn't even have time to process one tragedy or respond to one tragedy when another gets laid on him. And finally, let's notice how Job has no idea why this is happening to him. We know because we've read the backstory at the beginning of chapter 1. We know there's been an argument between God and Satan. God is allowing this to prove His power in Job's life. God is showing how Satan's cynicism is misplaced, irrational, and evil. But Job knows none of that. He has no idea. And as a result, in the following chapters is one question that he's going to repeat over and over. Why? So Job's loss was nearly comprehensive, it was sudden, and it was bewildering. And that gives us the background to his deep grief. And at the beginning, he outwardly grieves much the same as anyone else in his day and age. He'd been sitting down as he heard all the reports of his losses. But now he stands. He tears his robe. This robe was worn by the wealthy. It's not appropriate for Job anymore. He's lost everything. And then he shaves his head. Again, symbolic of loss. His hair loss reflects the loss of everything. Now these are understandable reactions. Job is grieving deeply according to the customs of his day. Today, we might grieve quite differently. Even if it was a sudden tragic loss, you wouldn't tear your clothes and shave your head. But the point isn't the exact way we grieve. It's the fact that we do grieve when we experience loss. Job didn't deal with his comprehensive, sudden, and bewildering loss stoically. as if he thought it would be sinful for him as a believer to mourn. No. He mourned. He grieved deeply. And in that, God reveals how grief at loss isn't sinful. God affirms our tears and our broken hearts. In His Word here, He shows us how He understands what we're experiencing. And He says, it's all right. In our Savior Jesus, He shows us how He's actually experienced what we're experiencing. Our sinless Savior grieved. And loved ones, all of that gives us comfort and assurance. It tells us that we have a sympathetic and compassionate Father in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? At the end of verse 20, we see Job doing something quite unexpected. It's certainly not what Satan expected to see Job doing. Satan expected Job to shake his fist at heaven and let loose with a string of curses directed at God. Instead, what does he do? He falls to the ground and worships. Now you have to picture this in your mind. You have to picture Job lying face down on the ground, his whole body prostrate. And this outward posture reflects his inner attitude of godly submission to what God has done. He worships God, even in his pain and grief. His heart honors God, even though his heart is broken. It's a remarkable picture of a godly man who's experienced some of the worst tragedies imaginable. And the question we ought to be asking is this. How is this possible? Is Job even a normal human being? I mean, he's worshiping God after hearing that all his beloved children have been killed. All his hopes and dreams of grandchildren have been dashed. And he worships God? How is this possible? How would it be possible for us to react in a similar way if we were to experience sudden tragic loss? Before answering that, let's look closer at what happens next with Job. Not only does he have an outward posture of humble submission to God, worship before God, his words show the same. This is verse 21. Some of the most famous words of the Old Testament. Our memory verse for next week. Here we see clearly how Job's faith runs deeper than his grief. He says that he came naked from his mother's womb, just like we all do. We come into the world with absolutely nothing, literally nothing. And when we leave this world, the same way. It's like what God says in 1 Timothy 6:7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Our earthly possessions are ours only for the time we're living and breathing. Once we die, all of that matters for nothing. And unless Christ returns first, that's something all of us can count on. 100% of us sitting here this morning are going to die. And all your earthly wealth, your money, and your possessions, you'll leave it all behind. That's the reality of being human. Job goes on. All that Job has is a gift from God. It's the Lord who gives. He entrusted Job with his oxen, donkeys, sheep, camels, and servants. God gave Job his children. He entrusted Job with them. And Job was a steward or a manager of these good gifts from God. And similarly, everything good we have in our lives is a gift from God, isn't it? God entrusts us with blessings from His hand. Even in his deep grief, Job acknowledges God as the fountain of all good. God is the good giver. Now, if you're a Christian, there's not too much trouble in confessing that God gives. Because it obviously benefits us. It's not hard to look at God's giving as a positive thing. But what about when God takes? That can be hard. It can be tough to look at God's taking as a positive thing. One of the saddest songs I know is called Casimir Pulaski Day by the American singer-songwriter Sufjan Stevens. The song is about his friend who's dying from bone cancer. And Stevens writes about going to a Bible study and praying for healing for his friend. But, quote, nothing ever happens. And at the end of the song, he hears about his friend's death as a bird flies into a window. And the last verse of the song is quite moving. All the glory when he took our place, but he took my shoulders and he shook my face, and he takes and he takes and he takes. The song expresses a real struggle with God taking away. And it's not uncommon. Now, to say that God takes away can be hard enough on its own. Yet, the Bible teaches it. The Bible teaches that God sends both prosperity and adversity. He gives and takes. It's in many places. I'll just mention one. I'll just mention Deuteronomy 32, verse 39. God says there, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." Deuteronomy 32, 39. So yes, God gives and God takes away. Even though in this case God worked through Satan's activity, Job is still right. God was still sovereign over what happened to him. God took away Job's animals, his servants, and his children. The surprising thing here is that Job doesn't look at this as a reason to blame God. When he acknowledges that God has taken away, he doesn't look at it as a reason to curse God, which is what Satan thought he'd for sure do. Verse 22 tells us that Job did not charge God foolishly. Job didn't express any contempt for God. And he didn't say that God's ways were anything less than perfectly wise and good. And all of that, despite his deep grief. Despite his deep grief, Job could say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job praises God because he knows what he is doing in giving and taking away. And Job says that everyone else should praise God too because he is good and wise in how he ordains everything. Job is making a confession of trust in God in which he invites others to share. He calls us, he calls you to share the same confession of trust in the good and wise God. Now, if you know Job's story, you know how his suffering is about to get worse in chapter 2. When we think about suffering in the Bible, we may be tempted to think that Job copped it worse than anyone else. But hold on. That's not really true, is it? Our Savior Jesus experienced physical suffering that may have been similar to what Job experienced. Dying on a cross with physical torture and pain. But our Lord Jesus also experienced spiritual suffering. God's wrath against our sin was poured out on Him. There were 3 hours of darkness while Jesus hung on the cross at Golgotha. And during those 3 hours, Jesus experienced hell. Our sins were laid on Him. And He felt the full weight of God's infinite wrath against those sins. That was a suffering no other human being on earth has ever experienced. Take the worst suffering that you've ever experienced and multiply it by a million. Take the worst of Job's suffering. Take that suffering and multiply it by a billion. And you still wouldn't come close to what Jesus experienced on the cross. It's literally unimaginable suffering. But then, hear our Savior's words when the darkness lifts. He says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Now many times when we hear those words and we contemplate them, we right away jump to the forsaken part. But we also ought to note that He says, my God. God may have forsaken Him by pouring out His wrath against our sins on Him. But Jesus has not forsaken God. God is still His God. Even though the Lord took away the light, even though the Lord took away His clothes, and He's about to leave the world literally naked, even though the Lord gave His wrath, His hell upon Jesus in our place, Jesus still says, my God. And loved ones, if we are in Christ, if we are united to Him vitally by faith, God can help us make the same confession when we suffer, when we grieve. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can help us grieve in faith too. We too can say, my God. We too can say, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at the example of the Apostle Paul. As he wrote his letter to the Philippians, where was he? He was in prison. He was in chains. And prison wasn't pleasant. Prison involved a measure of suffering. Yet what's the theme that comes out again and again in this letter of Philippians? It's rejoicing. We read from chapter 1 and Paul speaks about how he rejoices that Christ is being proclaimed. He rejoices because he knows that his imprisonment is somehow going to work out for good. And later in chapter 4, he tells the Philippian believers, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Believers are to always rejoice in the Lord, no matter their circumstances. And it's to be rejoicing in the Lord. That's to say, in union with our Lord Jesus. Because you're in Him, you can rejoice no matter what your circumstances. Because you're united to Christ, you can say, no matter what, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the rejoicing here isn't merely some sentimental feel-good thing, like just slapping a smile on your face. No, it's rejoicing that's directed outwards, towards God, from the heart. It's about praise for God, from the heart, no matter what your circumstances may be. Job probably didn't have a smile on his face in our passage. Yet he was rejoicing in the Lord because he was praising Him and saying that others should praise Him as well. And that represented God's victory over Satan. Remember, Satan said the opposite would happen. God proved him wrong. God won the argument. God had the power to help Job grieve in faith in a way that honored him and brought glory to his name. Even though Job was suffering, he could still praise God as being good and wise, even though he didn't understand his circumstances. And loved ones, you can trust God to do the same for you. You can. Right now, I don't know your situation that well, and it could be that none of us are experiencing the grief associated with a tragic and sudden loss. But someday, you may be. Someday, in God's wise ordaining, you may find yourself in the same situation I was in, and my wife was in, on May 27, 2002. You know, that phone call that knocks you over. That can be hard. It is hard. But right now, while we're sitting here, we can prepare ourselves. We can prepare ourselves for those kinds of moments where God sends trials to test and to purify our faith. We can ask God right now to work in our hearts with His Holy Spirit so our union with Christ bears fruit. We can pray now and ask God to help us with His Spirit so we always trust in His power. We can plead with God now to prepare us so that when grief comes, whether it's sudden or expected, we can deal with it in faith. We can deal with it in a way that honors God. It pleases God to hear such prayers, and He answers them. Really, what our text is about is what Scripture says in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's what this is about. Job acknowledged God in all his ways. Job acknowledged God in prosperity. He acknowledged God in adversity. He acknowledged God when he gave. He acknowledged God when he took away. Let's trust that God can do the same for us. And when I acknowledged God early on that morning of May 27, 2002, I know I didn't do that on my own. That was God working in me with His Holy Spirit to acknowledge Him in adversity. And exactly 1 year later, we could acknowledge God in prosperity too. On the exact day my mother died, 1 year later, our middle daughter was born. And on that day in the hospital, we read Job 1:21 again. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I pray that for each one of you too, whether in prosperity or adversity, that you too will be able to say that God should be praised for His goodness and wisdom, whatever may come. Let's pray. Our Lord God in heaven, our life here is so often a veil of tears. We all have to deal with grief at some time or other. Thank you for how you validate our grief in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the tears He wept. Father, thank you that you understand the sorrows we have in our hearts at times. But thank you even more that you give us grace to bear those sorrows in faith. Please help us to trust you, to trust that you can help us with the Holy Spirit, to still bless your name even when we're grieving. In the future, when we grieve, please help us with your Holy Spirit to be able to praise your name like Job did. When we grieve, please help us to say, "My God," like our Lord Jesus did. When we suffer grief, help us to rejoice in our Lord Jesus always, like the Apostle Paul did. Help us with your Holy Spirit in all our ways to acknowledge you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.